Yummy, 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 yummy.
It's a pretty dang good show he had.
Motherfucker. Put the rarest beer in the world in third place. It's hard not to taste the rare. It's hard because the beer is so good. It's like, yeah, you could have easily put it first and say, yeah, you know, this is super strong, super delicious, nutty, chocolatey, imperial stouty. It could have easily been first place. It's hard to really set it where it belongs.
Yeah, it weighs on you a little as you're doing it because you're like, boy, this is so rare and really, really delicious and good. But I just felt like it didn't surpass those other two beers that I put in front of it. I felt like you can rest on certain laurels in a certain sense when you're this big a beer and when you're this strong a beer. And
you don't have to be good, right? Because it's going to sell anyway. Yeah. But you know, the fact that all the breweries' beers are that, or not all of them, but almost all the breweries' beers are that good is stunning. You know?
Yeah, it really, I mean, the brewery is fantastic. We can't say enough good things about them. But I just felt that Maduro was fantastic. And that windowsill was also just fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with the windowsill. Yeah. The Maduro, I'm wondering if you're romanticizing
maybe
your brown ale a little bit.
Maybe. But I may have been. I'm not going to say that it's not out of the realm of possibility that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did feel like that was really delicious. And I do definitely, for sure, feel it was the most drinkable beer of the night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I couldn't imagine having 3 pints of any of these other beers.
Yeah.
3 pints of 18%.
three pints of Grey Monday, you'd be on the floor.
Oh, yeah. That's where I want to be.
All right, so Amazon Anonymous, you guys did such a great, wonderful job of doing what we asked you to do, I guess. But we actually hit our... There's a certain a volume where we get 7%
instead of six and a half.
And
I mean, there's a six and a half, and you always give us enough volume to get 6.5. Yeah. But this is the first time we've hit 7% for the referral rate. So, you know, we typically... Should we say numbers on how much we normally earn a month?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
So we normally earn around $100 a month or so. And this year we got 170, or this month we got 174 month to date so far.
Yeah. So and if you're asking, what is that? How much does that compare to what? So we got 170. Actually, right now it says 175.23. That's out of roughly. So some items are less, some items are more than slightly more than 7%, but roughly 7% for most items. So the amount that people spent was $2,700. So that's pretty cool. So thank you guys for that so much. It's totally appreciated, and we will use it to make the show better as best we can.
Yes. And $12 of that goes towards the Cigar City beers that we hit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we pick. It's gonna be a long list. Let's pause and pick our items.
All right.
All right, we're back, Gregory. What do you pick for Amazon Anonymous?
Well, Jeffrey, there are two things that I'm picking. Number one is a wall calendar. I could pee on this 2014 wall calendar. This is cats with observations, one of which I suppose is I could pee on this.
Mm-hmm.
I assume there are other observations.
Probably like a laptop, a cat looking at, like, I'm gonna piss all over that motherfucker.
But I really like the name. So I thought that was pretty neat. And Jeff pointed that out to me. I was like, okay, I'm taking that one. And then the other one is this thing that both Jeff and I thought was a really cool idea. This MagnaGrip magnetic wristband, which I guess you wear and you just, when you have screws and stuff, you put it on your wrist.
So a lot of people might be familiar with the magnetic nut trays and stuff like
that.
Nut trays, where I have two of those. I have two nut trays. But, you're working on something. It's a little bowl with a magnet underneath. Right. So when you throw screws into it, they stick there. And then the magnet on the bottom also works, so you can, like, stick it on the side of your toolbox. So all the nuts stick to the bowl, and then the bowl sticks to your toolbox. They're great. I have two of them because I like how those work so much. But this is a great idea. This is a wristband with several segments of magnets that go around it. So you're working on your car, you're working on your deck, you just stick all your ferrous nuts and screws and whatnot to it, and you just pick them off and do it. I like that a lot. I'm like, why did I not think of that? Typically bought together is the O'Keefe's Working Hands Cream. Let's explore this one a little bit more, shall we?
Okay.
O'Keefe's Working Hands Cream, 3.4 ounces. It's a bright green jar of Working Hands Cream.
It's odorless, which is nice.
It's effectively relieve dry hands that crack and split. The odorless concentrated formula stimulates the skin's natural repair process by hydrating the skin, adjusting pH balance, and retaining moisture. It's chemically different than other hand care products. I'm glad that's a bullet point. The difference, a difference you will feel it's within days. It's chemically
different. It has more salt in it.
Okay. Does it work for people who have eczema on their skin? Actually, I have a mild case myself, and it worked great. I don't know how it would be with a more severe case. I don't know how it would work with a more severe case, though.
It is O'Keefe's is not tested in animals in any way, so there you go.
And the ingredients are water, glycerins, citric acid, ammonium citrate. They like satire, apparently. Ammonium borate. Dimethicone, paraffin, oh my god, hydropropyl methyl cellulose, allantoin, diazodinyl.
Hydropropyl methyl cellulose just sounds like a more shelf-stable version of cellulose. That doesn't sound. I mean, that seems like it all it is.
Diazonal urea, isn't that piss?
You have urea in your piss, yes.
Dodecyl stearate, isopropylnitrile, butylcarbamate. Hope that helps.
Lots of hydrocarbons in this sucker.
Wow, that sounds dangerous to put on your skin. I've never read such hard words in my life. But it gets 4.5 out of 5 stars with 981 customer reviews. That was not purchased through craftbeer.com/Amazon. But Working Hands Cream.
Iodopropanol butyl carbamate. So that's iodine.
It's carbamate, not carbonate.
Carbamate, right.
That might be a typo.
No, I don't know.
Carbamate? I don't think that's a chemical construct.
Might be a typo. That's a hydrocarbon, you know, a butyl. Carbon, propyl, iodo means has iodine in it. Yeah.
All right. So for me, I'm going to be a shill here, I think, and mention some of the things that people have bought that have been Craft Beer Radio approved. Ting!
Why do you keep doing that?
I don't know, because I'm an idiot. We've sold 2 sets of the Spieglow Beer Classic Stems Pilsner Glasses, set of 2 in a gift box, $24.90 apiece. These are the glasses we drink on the show exclusively now. It's been a long, long time since we used anything else. We love those glasses. Paying $12 a beer glass sounds expensive. I hesitate to offer you a money-back guarantee, but I would offer you the next best thing, which... I doubt you'll regret it.
I guess the next best thing is if you dislike them, send us an email and we will read it on the air.
There you go.
We will read it and respond to it, you know, as best we can on the air. We will read, you know, your whole thing, whatever, your whole spiel. Now, I don't know about the main show, but definitely a pure repose show. Well, it depends on how much cursing is in it. But, you know, if it's not a lot of cursing and, you know, you make reasonable points, then we'll do it on the main show, too. And we'll say, look, you know, somebody disagreed with us. Mm-hmm. We feel that they're wrong. But we don't think you're going to disagree with us. We have not had anybody that we've steered wrong in these ways. Everybody who's had these glasses that has contacted us, at least, has told us that they really do feel that it improves their drinking experience.
Someone bought the Joey. They even bought the green version. of the Joey bottle stopper. So they must have a bunch of Dogfish Bombers they need to stop. Because that's what we recommended for the bottles where the Xylus stopper does not work. And then someone bought our little newbie infrared thermometer here, which was a great price point of...
No, less than $3. Less than $3 is pretty good.
It was, no, $13.66 he paid for it.
That's less than $30.
It's a lot less than $30. It's less than half of $30. Somehow he paid $13.66, where when I look on the link, it says $18.66. So he must have had some kind of special super secret link that I don't know about. So you'll pay less than $20 for the infrared thermometer that works from 380 degrees Celsius to minus 58, or from, no, minus 50 C to plus 380 C, or minus 58 F to plus 716 F. They actually make one that has a wider temperature range if you need it. Costs a couple bucks more. It comes in multiple colors, apparently.
Well, you said the yellow one. Yellow.
Well, there's a pen. I think the different capabilities here, but I'm not sure. The orange one's pretty sexy. Orange and gray, pretty sexy. But if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you need to get the yellow and black.
Speaking of the Steelers, well, I'll talk about that after we're done with this.
All right, that's Amazon Anonymous for this week. Thanks for putting up with our nonsense.
Appreciate it. Appreciate all your support.
Would you like a little more windowsill?
Yeah. Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
I suppose I could oblige.
Everybody used to send me home with a couple of these. Now, since I'm on my diet, it doesn't happen, so you get to enjoy them. So, yeah, you could give me a little extra taste of something.
On the way home, we stopped in the middle of the night somewhere in South Carolina to get some gas. And we just happened to pull on to Strom Thurmond Parkway.
It happens. It happens. Damn it, where was I?
With the racist senator.
Oh, God. Oh, Steelers.
Steelers.
So, the Steelers, they had a chance to get into the playoffs. It required a whole bunch of teams to lose and win, starting from 2 weeks ago, and the Steelers to win the last two games. Steelers did their part. They won the last two games. Every team did their part and won or lost except for the very last game, the Chiefs versus the Chargers, and... It went to overtime. But Kansas City didn't play their starters, which makes sense. I mean, they're already in, so there's, And it went to overtime, and they lost in overtime, and so the Steelers are not in. But, I mean, the chance of them getting in at one point where it's so low to be ridiculous. And you got to give them credit for having making a decent year out of a crap year.
Mm-hmm.
But so it was like, man, just one game. And they were one really overtime. Close. One overtime. They were really close and to they, actually getting in.
The Chargers got the ball first. I actually saw some of this at my parents' house. I didn't see it end, though. The Chargers got the ball first. They turned it over. It was almost intercepted by Kansas City and run back for a touchdown, but there was a flag. Kansas City turned it over, or Chargers turned it over. Kansas City missed a field goal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
It was like a 40-some yard. They missed the field goal. And then Chargers got it back. I'm not sure if they scored on that possession or not. Mm. But or did they miss the field goal in regular time? They might have missed a field goal in the fourth quarter. We were having late Christmas dinner at my parents' house, and kids were running around. I was really, and Shit, I haven't paid attention. I haven't watched a Steelers game all season. It's just been that kind of year for me, so.
I've watched a few. Well, actually, I think I've watched about 2 Steelers games this season, but.
I used to find myself watching them, but for some reason this season I was just always busy when they
were playing. Well, I didn't really have a TV. I mean, you can only watch them when I'm at other people's places, mm-hmm. so. So yeah, I don't find myself watching.
You can download the game half an hour after it's over and watch it.
You can? Oh yeah, I can. not everybody can, but I can.
Yeah.
Like Jeff asked me for a particular movie, and I was able to like, yep, get that for him.
Yeah.
How? I'm not gonna tell.
I wasn't able to download a certain movie because there was pieces missing. Thanks to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
But I have my sources. Hopefully they won't fail, you know, in the future. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, they will fail at some point. But for right now, I have my sources. Which also allowed me to, you know, get all the nice stuff on my Mac. Because I lost my the thing for my MacBook Air, that, you know, the original USB thing. That
had little thin card thing?
Yeah. It's somewhere around the mm-hmm. house, but... I took it out of my bag.
I could have got you a copy of the OS if you needed it. That's one nice thing about Macs is they don't do any kind of OS registration, right? If you have the hardware, you can run the software.
Right, yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, I didn't do a registration, but, you know, I am logged in as my account. And, you know, I did purchase this operating system at some point, so
right. And now that it's Mavericks is free.
Yeah.
I don't know if I talked about that on the air, but when I saw the release, Mavericks is out and it's free, I'm like, fuck. You know, running IT for a company, mm-hmm. you know, when it's $20, not everyone's going to upgrade right mm-hmm. away because people don't want to pay $20 out of pocket. And I don't want everyone to upgrade right away because I just want to make sure shit works right. for them. And as soon as I saw it was free, I'm like, oh, okay. Email to everyone at the company, please don't upgrade to Mavericks until I've had time to vet it, and I will not have time to vet it until after the office move is over.
I'm pretty sure that more than a few people, at least one that we both know, ignored that.
Damien. I don't expect Damien to heed any of my warnings.
Yeah, well, I mean, Damien knows computers well enough that I don't think you're worried about it.
And if he calls me up saying, hey, I'm running Mavericks and this ain't working, I can just hang up on him.
Yeah.
So. That's funny. I say call me up because, like, most people in the company don't even have telephones.
Well, there was some cell phones.
Well, yeah, but not desk phones. Like, because most people in the office are engineers. Uh-huh. They don't need to talk to the outside world at all. So we don't supply telephones by default. Seemed weird when I first started, but now it's perfectly normal. Damien has a phone because he was initially support. Now he's, you know, sales engineer. And most of the marketing staff and whatnot have telephones, but, like, engineers, there's only, like, 3 engineers that have telephones, and that's because they've asked for them.
It makes it easier on you.
It does. You don't have to run phones. They have extensions, and their voicemails get emailed to them, and they can listen to them, and... deal with it as appropriate. But most people's voicemails are just all spam anyway, so.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Yeah, I mean, you know, every company I've been in has had some sort of phone on the desk and it rarely gets used.
Yep.
Very rarely.
That windowsill's yummy.
Mm.
Damn, is that yummy?
It's very, very good. So, let's see. What other stuff has happened?
Yeah, what's going on in the news? I haven't paid any attention to the news in the last week. Was there a train derailment or something? Like a big one?
There was a bombing in Moscow.
Okay, no, news to me. Tell me.
I mean, it's not...
The only reason I know about the train derailment is I was in Bob Evans eating breakfast yesterday, and one of the newspaper boxes had a bunch of train cars, like, laying on their side.
It's a train station blast... I don't know, but that was today. I don't know.
Might have just been a more local West Virginia thing?
Could have been.
Or it was just a fake newspaper in a West Virginia newspaper box. I don't know.
Let's see. marijuana will be legal in Colorado in 3 days, completely legal for anyone to purchase who's over 21.
Will it last till next time we're out there for the GABA?
I don't know, but here, you know, here's the thing. Like, it used to be that you had to have a Colorado, you had to be a Colorado resident, you know, and have a particular card in order to be able to get marijuana from those things. Now, you can get up to an ounce if you're a Colorado resident. If you're not a Colorado resident, you can only get a quarter of an ounce. That's plenty, believe me.
Yeah, so there was a train derailment in Charleston, West Virginia. Apparently, it didn't get much outside news, but it was on the newspaper that I walked by yesterday morning.
Let's see. Boy, there's a lot of the news recently has just been like top 10 lists and stuff that happened. There's the whole Duck Dynasty shit that happened. We could talk about that a little bit.
Put some rednecks on TV. What the fuck do you expect to happen?
Yeah, seriously. And also, the first thing I thought when I heard it was like, okay, that's, you know, the first thing that was coming out was the gay stuff, and I was like, you know, that's really poor, you know, it's not politically correct at all to say, and it's shitty to say, but
he was just trying to figure out the gay man. He thinks that the pussy is a lot sexier than an asshole. I mean, yeah, what's wrong with that?
And that's, you know.
Then he had to say it was a sin. If you left the sin part off, I mean, it's just, guys, I don't get it. I don't get why assholes are so sexy.
Well, then, you know, the thing that wasn't as much covered was all the stuff when he was talking about black people, and that was far worse in my imagination because it was.
I didn't see it.
Because he was saying things like, you know, back when I was a kid.
They work in the field. Yeah, I worked with them. I never met a black guy that wasn't a nice guy.
Right. And they never sang the blues. It's like, that's where the blues came from. I mean, yeah, that was just. That was.
So he didn't hate black people as long as they were in their place.
Right. that was the implication. And that was really, really. Pretty and that was not what the thing was. That was not what made it. It was turned into a gay thing, and there's a lot more. There's a lot less. Racism is a lot stronger than the stuff against homosexuality. Right now, I mean,
it drives me nuts.
Yeah,
it's the same kind
same
of
thing.
It's same kind of bigotry.
Yeah,
you know, so just because there's not a word for, I mean, just because homophobe is the best word for anti-gay, right? But it's you're scared of gay people. It's not that you hate gay people, right? Well, racist means you hate black people, right?
More or less, yeah.
So there's not a homoist or a homoist or something, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's why I have to fall back to stop being a bigot.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that covers it. You hate someone because of what they are.
Right.
And I just...
Now, there are two issues here. One was that, of course, all the...
Oh, I'm going to get a soapbox here. How is it that so many people don't see that it's the same differentiation of it's. It just pisses me off so much. I don't know why. I've never been particularly pro gay or pro black, you know, anything like that. But like, it just pisses me off that people think that you can. Like, I sent you that tweet. I don't know if you followed up on the story behind it, but the governor of Pennsylvania is signing something to give gay people more rights, to make them equal citizens, except for marriage.
Yeah.
I think they deserve this and that, but they can't get married. What the fuck? It's like saying black people can't get married.
There was a lot of people who did not like the idea of interracial marriage. The same kind of bigotry.
But not today.
Not today.
But right. But how can you like be in a place where you see history and you know about interracial marriage and you think that's okay? Maybe you don't think that's okay. not to be racist, but I'm not racist, but you get to a place where like you're okay that's with more that
prejudice and racist at that point. No. Yeah, because you're talking about the way other right. you're lumping a bunch of people together.
But you're okay with a black guy marrying a white guy, white girl, because you see how history is transformed. But you're still against two guys or two girls getting married.
Well, I mean,
it's this, how do you? I mean, other than the Bible telling you that it's wrong.
The Duck Dynasty thing I think was really interesting because it pointed out what the reality is, isn't it? And I mean, you know, they hid behind the God shit, but the God shit's nonsense, and we all know that. What it's really about is that it's icky, right? I mean, that's what he said. Is you know, he finds it icky. You know, he says, oh, you know, a vagina is much more interesting to me than a butt. Me too. I agree. That doesn't. Everybody has their own.
It's a misconception, though. It's like saying, you know, black people are stinky. You know,
well, no. It's like, look, I support all the gay rights. You know, that the gay should have it's exactly as much right. You know, marriage and everything. I support. You know, their ability to do whatever they want. I still find gay sex kind of icky. I imagine gays find heterosexual sex kind of icky.
I find it icky. But, I mean, it's what's the difference between saying that and saying...
But I don't... But I'm not up to legislating ickiness. You know, it's let people enjoy what they enjoy if it's not going to harm anybody else, and particularly if it's something as powerful and as important as love and sex. God, let them do it. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's perfectly okay to be define those kind of things not to your liking and kind of gross, but still be like, well, but it's just not my thing, but that's okay. If two consenting adults want to do it.
I can't wait till we're past this phase.
Yeah.
In American history. It's okay to be, I mean, racist isn't technically the right word, but it carries the power that I need here. Right. It's okay to be racist against gay people.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear those words put together that way, it's like, wait a second. Maybe someone will make an argument it's not the same, but to me it's the same. It's the same as being racist against black people, as being anti-gay, to being bigoted. See, bigoted's not as strong as racist in my feel, right? So saying you're being a bigot against black people or being a bigot against gay people is one thing. But if you could actually say you're being racist against gay people, it more clearly paints the picture, even though it's not an accurate statement, right? Because it's not a race thing. But the connotation is more clear.
Yeah, no, it's the same kind of thing, but it doesn't have the same impact emotionally and linguistically.
Right. Racist is a better word for what I'm seeing
than
bigoted.
Yeah. But here's the thing about the Duck Dynasty thing. So there are two important points to bring up, I think. One is that all the conservative commentators were saying, what happened to free speech? What happened to free speech? And it's like, wait a minute. This is not a free speech issue. Free speech
has
to
do with,
government, you know, and this is a company, and these are the same people who are saying there's a war on Christmas, and we have to stop people saying Happy Holidays and make sure they say Merry Christmas. The very same people are also saying, you know, how dare Annie? and here's the other thing, though.
The free speech thing drives me nuts too, right? Because he's being penalized for saying what he believes in.
Yeah,
in the commercial market. He's not arrested,
right? But at the same time, I mean, you know, there's a point here, which is like, look, you have these rednecks on your show. They're going to say redneck things. You're going to suspend them for saying redneck things. That's ridiculous. They're going to say stupid things.
But he didn't do it on the show. He did it out of band, right?
Still, if he said it on the show, I mean, look, the point
is, they edited the show, right? He did he did it outside the control of his handlers, and that's.
I mean, the point is, though. I mean, the reason why we we embrace freedom of speech so much is because we want the ideas out there. I mean, we want ridiculous ideas to be shown for how ridiculous they are. And the way to do that is not to shut them up, but to expose them for their ridiculousness.
Well, so, he's been exposed. I mean, but yeah. If you're running the business, right, you don't want to propagate that it's okay that the rednecks.
Well, I mean, they just reinstated them, so it's not they? Like, yeah. I mean,
did he apologize?
No. the family said, "Well, okay. Well, if you're not going, I mean, they're independently wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making $40 million a year on their, you know, just on their duck call things. So they don't need A&E. A&E needs them. Mm-hmm. So A&E."
They said, if you don't like our racist ways, get bent.
Yeah, basically. Nice. And A&E was like, okay, you win. That's essentially what happened. He was de-suspended. So it all turned out to be just nonsense. Just a bunch of ridiculousness. And it's like, let people say stupid shit on TV. That's kind of the point. That's kind of, you know, that's the whole thing. I want there to be idiots like Alex Jones out there. Yeah, they're going to get followings of people who are, you know, in the same, you know, HARP is causing weather stuff. They're going to get like a few, probably, you know, especially as the stuff, you know, gets more and more, like maybe a couple million people are going to be able to. But look, I want that out there because I want people to see how ridiculous it is. I want there to be the exposure to that, because once you start forcing that out, whether, I mean, obviously governmentally is definitely the way we don't want it to go, but once you start even forcing it out culturally, then it becomes more and more enticing to people. But if you just, you know, show it and expose it for how bad it is, you can influence culture in a better way. So I just thought, you know, let the Duck Dynasty people say stupid shit, and it's not, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. Especially if you don't do this stupid boycott shit. What you do is you say, you know, you make it a point to say how ridiculous it is, and you make it a point to push how ridiculous it is.
I just wish we could fast forward 10 years where gay marriage is legal everywhere.
I mean, in 10 years, there's going to be another issue, right? I mean, look at the way people look at atheists right now. Did I tell you this? I'm sure I told you this story. But my my mother was commenting to me because she's looking for jobs right now. And she said, you know, on your Twitter page, I check your Twitter page and your Twitter info says that you're an atheist and maybe you should take that off if you want to get a job. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to take off that I'm an atheist from it. Who the fuck cares that I'm an atheist? Maybe people do, but no one in IT that I've ever met gave a shit. So, you know, I don't think, but you know, there is definitely, in other places that we aren't living in, a real condemnation of the idea of atheism, because it's thought to be completely like.
I could imagine where you could be passed over by a manager or two.
That's not a place that would want to work at anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's not a person you want to work for.
Right? Yeah,
I can imagine it. I mean, there's prejudice against, you know, heavy people too, right? I mean, we can say you're.
It's like,
you know, it's like, you know, you gotta, you know, I can't think of a great example where, you know, weight is the atheist. You know, like you broadcast, it's not like you broadcast on Twitter, like, hey, I'm fat, you know.
But I do interviews and, yeah, you know.
And they see, right?
Yeah.
I think smoking is a hard one to.
Yeah.
To you know, there's like in our company, there is not very many people that smoke. There's 3 that I know of, and then 1 guy that smokes electronic cigarettes all day at his desk. Which is the weirdest thing when you're yeah. not used to it. You see this guy sucking on this giant robot thing, and it's a surprising low ratio. I mean, it seems like the general
there's a lot less people who smoke than used to that you know that have been around. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but 3 out of 80 people, that seems really low. Or
at my last job, you were not allowed to smoke on campus. So I didn't really know that anybody, you know, mm-hmm. anybody smoked.
I see.
At other jobs, you know, there were a couple people, you know, definitely went out every 15 minutes to do a mm-hmm. smoke break, but
right.
I mean, yeah, that's it's gross to me, but it's also like I understand, you know, if you get into a situation, I don't have an addictive personality. I don't have an addictive. That's just not the way I work, but I understand when people do that. It's, you know, it's powerful.
Yeah, the three times an hour smoke break thing, you know, pisses me off yeah. too. You know, like at that point, I think a company should buy the electronic cigarettes. You know, like sit at your desk yeah. here, suck on this.
Well, no, I'm in favor of, you know, letting people take breaks whenever they want. I think the 40-hour work day is ridiculous. 40-hour work week is ridiculous. I think that, you know, it should be at most 30 hours. And because I don't think you get anything extra done in those 10 hours. I think that there are times when you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that for the most part, 30 hours a week is probably more than you need to get your job done. And if you have to work more than that, then you should be compensated for that. That's not the way things work right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think that at least a modicum of trade-off is that if you are working these, you know, hours that are long, then you get to take breaks whenever you want, and for as long as you want, because it, you know, it's about the job that you do, not about the hours that you work.
Sure.
That's just, you know, the way I look at things. And
yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone, like, currently. But, I mean, there's been people in the past where, you know, they're spending an hour and a half a day outside smoking.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're smoking for 10 minutes every, you know, at least 10 minutes every hour. You know, if not more. And it's like, yeah, you know, those people got my nerves. I don't encounter those people today at all.
But do you think the 40-hour work week is relevant today? I mean, that's a holdover from, you know, from like Ford, from that kind of
thing. I mean, that's, I don't know, that's
8 hours a day for 5 days a week. Do you really think that's necessary? All the time, constantly?
I don't know. I think it's not enough time to do what I get paid to do.
Really? Okay. I think it's more than enough time. I think that I spend more time, more downtime than uptime usually with that kind of thing.
I don't punch a clock. I don't know exactly what I work. I work more than 40 hours a week, and I'm always behind the curve. And I need, you know.
That's because you need a staff too. I mean.
Well, but I'm getting paid to do a certain job. Right. So it's baked in there, you know. I'm not getting paid to work 40 hours. I'm getting paid to do a job.
Right.
And I can't do that job in less than 40 hours. I definitely couldn't do it in 30 hours.
I mean, there are some times when I need 60 hours a week to do something or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do it. You know, I have no problem with mm-hmm. that when, you know, when things need the work done. But, you know.
But, you know, I'm also an owner of the company, right? Yeah. I mean, I have lots of options. I'm vested in doing the job and doing what I can to make those options worth something. You know, I mean, sure. That's the startup thing. And, well, it also helps that I love what I do. I have a blast going to work. Doing fun stuff. So if, you know, if I can make the company successful, make some bank, you know, no complaints.
I,
the only thing I worry about is spending too much time at work and not time with the kids, but I think I've struck a good balance, you know, so I'm not too worried about that.
that's, you know, it's how you look at it. I don't look at it the same way. I feel pretty strongly that this whole 40-hour work week is nonsense. That, you know, I've seen more people, I've been exposed to more people goofing off and doing nothing at work than because downtime can be just excruciating. I mean, you don't have a lot of downtime, and that's good. So you have a lot of work to do, and that keeps you up. But when you have downtime, it can be painful to be at work. And you're like, God, what am I here for? I'm waiting for something to do, and there's nothing to do. What the hell am I supposed to do? Why am I here for 8 hours a day? That can be really, really annoying.
I've never been in a position where I've had nothing to do, right? There's always been more than enough work, or if there's nothing specific to do, there's been things to go do, right? So I can't relate to that. I mean, not at this job, not at my last. I mean, when I was working in the government contractor gig, right? I mean, that was. But then I took my downtime and punched a clock on a different job at the same time, right? I mean, so I was double clocking my time. So right. I mean, there's always been work to do, opportunistically or, you know, assigned. So
You and I definitely have different work ethics too. There's you're stronger towards just, you know, plain old work and find something to do and just do it, and I'm like, well, you know, I will do the best I can at the thing you want me to do, and if I find something wrong with it, or if I find something that I think will be better, I'll point that out. But if you tell me to do nothing, then I'm gonna go out of my mind. So I don't know. What else? New year. It's a new year.
New year. Look, I pee first. Please.
What?
May I pee?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
All right, back.
So 2014 is upon us. Probably by the time you're listening, this will be 2014.
In the year 2014.
In the year 2000 plus 14. What do you have any thoughts on best of 2013 stuff? There are a lot of cool science stories in 2013, I have to say. Lots of cool science stories.
I don't want to change your topic, but you just reminded me of something awesome. Just write down dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
You're hitting me cold here. I haven't thought much about the whole topic, right? 2013.
I mean, you haven't had a chance to watch a lot of entertainment in 2013, I know.
Right. What do you got? What do you got? Warm me up.
All right. It's the best / worst entertainment. The thing I hated the most in 2013 was Zombie Community, I think.
Okay.
I hated what they did to Community, and that's been thankfully ameliorated. That's, 2014, and in fact, in January 2nd, the new episodes start. I'm really looking forward to it. Dan Harmon's back, mm-hmm. And that's great. 2013. The best thing that I saw in 2013. Well, I mean, obviously Breaking Bad is up there,
mm-hmm.
Right? I think Orphan Black is up mm-hmm. there, too.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
There's still things I want to get into that I'm sure were great, like Justified. I heard Rectify was really good on
Rectify?
The Sundance Channel.
Hmm.
It's about somebody who...
Changing polarization of electricity?
Yes, exactly. It's about somebody who gets off of a death row sentence because he... the DNA evidence... That's the base story, but there's apparently a lot of really good stuff there. I didn't watch a whole lot of new and different stuff in 2014 or 2013, so I don't really have
a lot to say. Talk about the fall TV season at all this year.
Yeah, well, I talked a little bit about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I thought Brooklyn Nine-Nine was good. I loved Elementary this year. I know you are, you know.
You're still trying to get me to watch it.
Still trying to get you to watch it. You didn't like the first episode. It gets better. Sherlock starts again, New Year's, actually. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I'll be watching that when it comes out. But yeah, we didn't talk about new pilots for the fall season. Kind of came and went. I'm like,
well, there was not a lot of really.
That's weird that there wasn't. I mean,
stuff. I mean, I thought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. might be good. It really wasn't. I've heard Sleepy Hollow is good in the sense that it's just ridiculous, but that's not really what I want to see.
Is the Golden Age of TV over?
No, because there's still great shows on TV. But
is it the beginning of the end?
No, I don't think so. I think there's going to continue to be a lot of great shows. I think that people are commenting on the end of the anti-hero right now. That Breaking Bad sort of signaled that was the last of the sort of big anti-heroes. And now we're going to see more.
You think, really? I would have think there'd been a lot of copycats after Breaking Bad. Because I don't think things like Deadwood would have been enough to cause copycats.
No, I think that, like, that Sopranos was kind of the rise of the anti-hero.
Okay, so you're talking about that kind of period.
Yeah.
Yeah, there won't be another great anti-hero?
Well, that's not the way that right now TV is going. The shows that are on TV and the shows that are proposed for TV don't really have a whole lot of anti-heroes. And then at least that aren't focused on being anti-hero shows.
I mean, Justified's kind of a strange mix, right? I mean, he is a hero, but he's a badass hero, you know?
That's not an anti-hero.
Yeah, I hear you. But there's some blur there. Because he will cross the line.
Well, crossing a line is different from being, you know...
A villain.
Yeah, from being a villain that you root for.
Right.
Movies. Did not see a whole lot of movies this year either.
I wanted to see Gravity in 3D in theater so bad. Just
I mean, I thought Gravity was great and really enjoyable, but was it the best movie of the year? No. I don't know what the best movie of the year is, but I know it's not Gravity.
I wanted to see The Spectacle. I heard The Spectacle.
Yeah, The Spectacle was fun. It's a ride. It's a great ride. But it's not a particularly great movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something that affects you in the way that, you know, some fantastic movies do.
It's no Captain Neo.
Yeah, it's definitely no Captain Neo. You didn't tell your Captain Neo story.
I didn't. I tweeted, you know, but what exactly I tweet?
He said something along the lines of, you know, Captain EO still holds up today, and then # tweets they're never sent or something. Like
that. Yeah, things people never say.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember how campy it. Oh, it just it. You're looking like George Lucas was producer, right? You're just like. Oh, this is where Jar Jar Binks came from. It's like George Lucas must not have really been in full control for the first three Star Wars. The studio must have been in control.
Yeah.
And this is where he gained control and ruined everything. it's just so bad. And the 3D projector was screwed up. You just couldn't appreciate the 3D. Oh. Heather's like, that was stupid. And if Max has nightmares, you're dealing with him.
What nightmares would Max have?
Well, that's kind of scary.
Is it?
For a 3-year-old, sure. There's this creepy lady with long fingernails hanging from the ceiling, rasping her with a raspy voice. And then there's these, you know, bad guys that are threatening until they get turned to the
Max
dancers.
Max is like, he's into Thor and Captain America. I'm sure he's...
It was kind of, I was watching it with a, you know, like, kind of uncomfortably. I'm like, oh, shit, I hope this isn't too scary for my kids. It's campy and stupid, but it's still scary.
All right. I don't have, you know, much to say about. There's a lot of great science stories in 2013. Lots of fantastic stuff happened. So there was, first of all, the huge thing was the Higgs, right? That was huge. Mm-hmm. You know, the absolute confirmation of the Higgs field, and what that means. in terms of particle physics, which is that scalar fields exist, is really huge. Because it lays the foundation for things like, you know, for things that people have predicted that we haven't shown yet, like the inflaton field that produces inflation, mm-hmm. and the other things. We all said, well, you know, it could be a scalar field. We don't know of any scalar field that exists, but could mm-hmm. be a scalar field. Well, now we know of a scalar field that exists, so it makes it much mm-hmm. more probable that another one exists. The meteor in Russia,
yeah.
was both kind of a wake up call and a really interesting thing that happened, and it was really about the ubiquitousness of cameras and things like that
mm-hmm.
made it much bigger story than it would have otherwise been, and really, really cool and scary and lots of things. The Edward Snowden story, which is still a technology story.
You know, that's a very good point. I didn't think of that. To me, we talked about this last week. Stop me if I did, but Snowden deserves to be Time's Man of the Year, not the Pope.
I agree.
I mean, just the good he's done for disclosure humanity.
Well, I don't think that Time's Man of the Year should be about good that you've done. I think Time's Man of the Year should be about the influence.
Well, impact. But, I mean, the impact he made about this stuff, I mean, yeah, Snowden should have been Time's Man of the Year.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. And
there's
more
a new story that just came out about the NSA was...
Yeah, I mean,
intercepting computers on delivery and hacking them and shit.
I have to admit that the more the stuff comes out, the less and less I'm tacitly approving of the stuff that I have been before. You know, once I really started to understand the elliptic curve algorithm and what the NSA actually did. And Number Files a great video on that to explain how the elliptic curve works and what the NSA did, which is present basically the elliptic curve thing is there are two numbers that the NSA supplied, two large prime numbers NSA supplied that seem to be independent with no relation to mm-hmm. one another. And then you run a randomizer and run through this. But the thing is that the NSA apparently knows that there is a relation between these two numbers, and so they can relatively easily decrypt.
There's a theoretical key
yeah.
to the default. So there's published, excuse me, NIST has published curves.
Yeah.
And theoretically, there can be a key to these curves. It's not been proven, but theoretically there can
be. But almost certainly because of the way...
But you can use any curve, right? There's dozens of curves.
But if you use the one that the NSA suggested,
right.
and a lot
well,
of
RSA
yeah.
used that as their default
yeah.
curve.
Yeah.
And there is no good reason to choose those curves as your default curve. None. So why would RSA choose that curve if they weren't incented or coerced
mm-hmm.
is a great question.
No, it really is. And once you understand, once you get more understanding, you realize that, wow, they really, really did have more access than I expected from what I know about computer technology. Because, you know, if they have essentially at least a partial key, then it really does make things a lot easier to break. And that's what they
have.
You
just want to introduce non-randomness.
Yeah.
Predictability into the random. And then it gets a lot easier to break. But the shit they were doing about hacking Google's internal network.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of stuff was like, wait a minute. Wait. Okay, intercepting things that are going across lines, you know, I understand. Even metadata I can kind of get behind, but this kind of stuff.
Penetrating like, Google's network? Fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'm glad you're finally on my side on that one.
Well,
so here's a story. I haven't read this yet. I just saw this while we were talking in the post-show when I pulled up Google News. NSA intercepts computer deliveries. German magazine lifted the lid on operations of national security agencies hacking it. It's Sunday reporting that the American spies intercept computer deliveries, exploit hardware vulnerabilities, and even hijack Microsoft's internal reporting system to spy on their targets. So, like, oh, there's a computer going to the German consulate? Let's kind of sidetrack that and hack it and then send it on to the German consulate. What the fuck?
Well, that just sounds like regular spy work. That sounds that sounds exactly like everything they've always been doing. That doesn't sound like an especially egregious attack on the American people, as opposed to what other stuff have seemed like. That just seems like spy work that any company would do.
Now,
it's a great way to piss off the Germans, certainly.
Right.
But
the thing that gets to me is, like, if all this shit has happened, they've influenced RSA. Like, so there was a thing recently, FreeBSD has up until now relied on the Intel's random number generator to get their random numbers for their crypto. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, Intel seems a lot less trustworthy. There's been no proof that Intel has modified their random number generator to be predictable because the NSA has asked them to.
Yeah.
But at this point, with all the shit that's been revealed, can you trust Intel not to have done that, right?
Well, I mean, I will remind everybody, this all started, I think, back in the Clinton times when there was the concept of a chip that was going to be placed on all electronics that would allow the NSA easy access.
The Clipper chip.
Yeah, the Clipper chip. And that was...
Well, it was shut down.
That was shut down, but the NSA just figured, okay, well, we'll find a different way in.
Right. But, so, like, you know, I mean, it would be disastrous for Intel if it ever was broken that Intel had co-opted the random number generator to do this. But in the same story, I was also surprised because Linux, the way Linux does the random numbers, they take the things available, like the hardware, PRNG, prime random number generator. Mm-hmm. But they also mix it with entropy from the system itself, mouse movements, keyboard, network timing, stuff like that. So it distances that random number from the hardware random number generator. FreeBSD wasn't doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, if there was a PRNG in the chip, it would use it straight up. And in the new version of FreeBSD that's going to be coming out, they're going to patch it so it uses other system entropy like Linux does. Which they're doing because of this whole NSA, really can't trust Intel now until they prove otherwise, which they can't prove otherwise. But I was surprised BSD's, the more secure of the operating systems, wasn't already mixing multiple sets of entropy pools to make their PRNGs. But it's like, can you trust the chip makers? What can you trust now? Unless you're making the chips from your own pile of sand.
That's a difficult.
It is a difficult thing, right? I mean, it's a crazy world we're in. That's why Edward Snowden should be Time's Man of the Year.
What else has happened science-wise in 2014? There's been the comet. There has been lots of Mars stuff that's happened. There's been some
China's going to the moon?
Yeah, commercial space thing. China going to the moon. There was a lot of announcement on planets from the Kepler mission in extrasolar planets. Mm-hmm. There was
Earth-sized ones, rocky planets.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's been the WISE data, the new cosmic microwave background data that slightly made the age of the universe about 13.8 instead of 13.7 billion years, and also gave much more resolution on the cosmic microwave background. There's been a huge amount of great science that's been done this year.
Dinosaurs. I was on the way back at about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, driving through South Carolina yesterday. I was listening to a Radio Lab, and it was this kind of a clip of their live tour that they were just on. But they were talking about endings. You know, the live tour was about endings. And they're talking about the end of the dinosaurs. And there's some new theories, research. I don't know which term to particularly apply here. I think it's beyond speculation. But they're talking about the meteor impact. And, you know, the story that we've all been told growing up is, you know, meteor impact put lots of dust and ash into the atmosphere, and it was a slow, cold death for the dinosaurs.
That's an older
That's an older one. So maybe you're already learned on the new one, but I wasn't.
Which is that there's a lot of volcanic activity at the same time.
Well, no, this is even cooler and different.
A gamma ray burst?
No, check this out. So when the meteor came in, there was a ton of ejecta. Uh-huh. And the ejecta went out into space above the atmosphere. And it crystallized into fine glass it left the atmosphere as rock vapor. And then it crystallized into small glass beads. When it came back in, it was spread out over most of the globe. And there was so much of it that it made the sky so hot that it was 10 kilowatts per square meter. It was like the whole sky was a pizza oven, like 1,200 degrees for a few hours. And that's what killed off all the dinosaurs, like, boom. Like, but if you're in water, like, if you're deep in water, if you were in shallow in water, acid rain would fuck you up. If you're deep in water, you were okay. If you're under a few inches of dirt, you were okay. Because it was just a few hours.
How did the theropod dinosaurs and birds survive?
Underground? Eggs underground? Things like that? Is the theory.
That sounds a little iffy.
So basically, 10 kilowatts per meter, 1,200 degrees sky, like glowing red, like just boiled blood and killed all the dinosaurs, like within like an afternoon. Like within a few hours is the
theory. What about the other eggs that were, you know, around the other dinosaurs?
The ones that weren't buried under soil and insulated?
Yeah.
Boiled.
In caves or?
Those are fine. Yeah. That's where birds came from.
But the other dinosaurs didn't survive that?
The big ones don't live in caves. Brontosauruses don't live underground. You gotta listen to it.
Maybe.
You can be skeptical. I can be skeptical.
I'm skeptical.
It's a crazy new theory. The suddenness of the extinction, right? If it proves to be true, is stunning. It's a extraordinary claim. It requires extraordinary evidence. I need to vet the evidence or whatnot. But
I mean, we know beyond any reasonable doubt that birds are theropod dinosaurs. There's really, at this point, no reasonable question about that. I learned this today, that birds are still considered technically reptiles. Which is just in a technical cladistic way. But they evolved from theropod dinosaurs. There's no question about that. There's no reasonable question about that right now. I don't know that it's... I have not heard this idea. It sounds a little fishy to me that there's, glass beads that around the world presented a constant big oven. I can see
they're meteorites falling back in, right?
I can see in places where something like that could happen, but an around the world type thing, that seems... I'm not saying it's necessarily false. I'm just saying it's... strikes me as sounds weird is the best way to put
it. So when I got two radio labs to listen to, you got to listen to the that one about the frozen Neanderthal guy, not Neanderthal, but and then you got to listen to the one about the dinosaurs. Maybe you're going to be going to be hating on Radiolab here soon. You're definitely skeptical, and you should be skeptical. I should be skeptical.
Yeah.
I heard the information is presented, and I'm not saying I'm a firm believer. There's still debate and everything, but it's a fascinating new theory with data to back it up.
I'm not saying, is there data to back it up?
The math? Well, they've done math on the impact, and you know, with the whole Ames research, you know,
shouldn't we see a whole huge amount of glass beads, or at least some?
Yeah, in the KT boundary, there is.
There is a lot of iridium, but are there glass beads?
Yeah.
Okay, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, in the KT boundary, they at least on the show, unless they're lying to us, you can find that in the KT boundary as well.
It's now not the KT boundary anymore. It's the damn it, what is it called?
Cretaceous. Cretaceous Paleogeone boundary?
Yeah, yeah.
KT's easier to say.
Paleogeome. Paleogene.
Paleogene, yeah.
This is the KBG.
C-C-P-B.
It's still called the K, according to Wikipedia, it's still called the KPG.
Oh, yeah, it is. But Cretaceous starts with a C. Maybe not in Latin or in Russian or something.
Which is, this K is the traditional abbreviation for the Cretaceous period.
I don't know what to tell you. Be skeptical, but listen to it. Please.
All right. Tell me
what you think.
I listen
to both of those Radiolabs. The one about the Iceman and his last meal and his death. And then the one about the dinosaur's death. It's all about death and forensic evidence.
Lovely. What about crocodiles? Crocodiles don't live in deep water. Crocodilians survived the KPG
I'm not
boundary.
Making the argument. I don't have all your answers. I mean, the KT boundary.
Amphibians?
Or
amphibians would have been roasted by that.
I don't know, dude. The KPG is only a few inches thick. It's, and then, like, what, 3 feet is 10,000 years. I mean, it's a pretty narrow band where there's no dinosaurs above, is from what I've learned, right?
Mm-hmm. Besides birds.
Besides birds.
Non-avian dinosaurs, you should probably say.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Or dinosaurs, as most people would say.
Most people would say. But if, as long as we're talking in the scientific realm, I say, let's get it accurate. Birds are dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Or birds are birds. A descendant of dinosaurs.
You could put it that way, but... yeah.
They are warm-blooded. Were dinosaurs warm-blooded, or do we know?
It's thought that dinosaurs were warm-blooded.
Okay. Yeah, so they're different than reptiles.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. It was fascinating and interesting in the Radiolab way of like, holy shit, you expect that it was
like it says right here in the Wikipedia, most paleontologists recognize birds as the only surviving dinosaurs.
I don't disagree with that argument at all. It's just kind of semantics here, talking about what gets extinct and what's not. And how they got extinct and whatnot, but Radiolab said that there's conflicting theories and this isn't, you know, what every scientist believes. But I mean, it's pretty crazy. You just think about, like, oh, all dinosaurs were killed off in 4 hours. You know, it's just like, what? How the fuck?
That is pretty crazy. Now, it's not unheard of. I mean, you know, if there's thoughts that at some point at other extinctions that maybe Earth was exposed to a gamma ray burst and that mm-hmm. could have caused, you know, huge extinctions, other huge extinctions that we see in the record. So,
right.
It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, but they say from when the meteorite struck to when the sky turned into an oven was, like, within 2 hours.
Within 2 hours?
Yeah. And, like, when the meteor struck, if you were, like, on the other side of the planet, you wouldn't have noticed the meteor strike. It wasn't that big.
Mm-hmm.
But within 2 hours, there would have been an oven over your head, you know?
Scary.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, if the math proves true, if the science proves true, that's like, what the fuck, you know, like, hope my house doesn't catch on fire, you know, or if it does, hopefully I have a place to hide underground.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, once you hear that a meteor struck the Earth and...
They didn't really say exactly how long the sky was hot for, like, whether it was, like, 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, but they implied that it was short enough that the things that were underground, the worms, yeah. the small mammals, the things like that could come out and, you know.
And okay, I could see maybe also, wouldn't only half the Earth be
The ejecta pretty much spread out
But the heat would have come from the energy from the sun, and that would...
No. The meteorites, so many meteorites were falling that the heat from them burning up caused the atmosphere to heat up to 1,200 degrees. Or 10 kilowatts per meter.
That's...
It's hard to imagine.
Yes. Very hard to imagine. Is a great way to put it. Very hard to imagine.
The sky would glow red.
Because of tiny...
Because it would be so hot. It would be radiating so much heat. It'd be... The whole sky would be like the heating element of your oven.
But wait, no. I mean, wait a minute. This is just stuff that kind of ejected and then came down, right?
There was a jet that shot back out. They've modeled this stuff with the high powered cannon thing in Ames, you know, shooting glass beads into sand and all that shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but like, okay, here's
so
where...
like all this okay, so va- the re- all the this reason... rock vapor went out back out through the atmosphere into space.
Right, but the relative velocity would have been much slower than what we see for like meteors and things like that that we see today. Ejecta would come up and then come down. It would not be at the relative velocity that we see meteors.
So you would
not have the same kind of blast pressure, and you would have the same kind of heat.
I'm not the doctor who works for some university that proposed this. I'm just a guy that listened to Radio Lab. I don't know, but there was enough pressure for this stuff to go out, go into orbit, to get to the moon, to get to Mars, and to fall back on Earth and fuck shit up.
Sounds fishy, but I'll look into it. I'll see what I can find out.
Look into it.
But does not liking the chances on this one.
But, prove it wrong. Show me where it's bullshit.
Well, I already gave you some options.
You need to show me some proof where it's bullshit, not your wild speculation.
Well, you need to show me some proof where it's not bullshit, actually, because you're the one presenting the claim.
Listen to the Radio Lab. Start from there.
All right. But I'm just saying that I don't have to prove it's bullshit. You have to prove it's not bullshit, because you're the one with the claim.
I have a podcast that cites real professors at real universities with real theories.
But what I'm saying is extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. I don't know whether there's extraordinary evidence for that claim. I would require that to believe such an extraordinary claim.
Okay.
And if that extraordinary claim shows merit, then I will believe it. But without that extraordinary claim, it sounds
ridiculous. Well, let's start by listening to the show. And then you tell me where to go from there.
All right. I will do so. Because, yeah, next time we meet, maybe, I'll see if I have any thoughts on this matter. But it sounds absurd prima facie on the face of it, but that doesn't mean anything. Because things can be absurd without, or things can sound absurd without actually being absurd. So
it's definitely a different and strange theory about the energy densities. That's the one thing I'd want to check into, right? This whole 10 kilowatts per square meter, right? I mean, that's pizza oven temperature, 1200 degrees, 900 to 1200 degrees would be radiating down on you from the sky.
Right.
Cause your blood to boil, kill you. Basically, it's where you fall down, die, dead, gone. If you were under... They said how much water you would have to be under to survive the heat. But really, I guess it would cause a lot of acid rain.
Yeah, so, the acidity would be...
Well, it would cause a lot of acid rain, so you had to be much deeper than the insulating part of the water to avoid the acid rain. So deeper sea creatures survived. But the soil was a very good insulator. You only had to be under a few inches of soil, like 3 inches of soil, to survive the heat from that. Because it was only a couple hours. And then it radiated away, and the sky came back. So it's like you needed to survive it for days and days and days. I don't know if it was 2, 4, 6 hours, but it was just a few hours to survive the intense heat. Or so I was told by a potentially hack scientist that made his way into Radio Lab, but listen to it and tell me what you think.
All right. Sounds like bullshit, but that doesn't mean it's bullshit. Just sounds like it. But stranger theories have been proposed and have been shown to be true. So, I don't know. I guess that's enough for tonight. Think so?
I think so.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.